venerable religious and dear parishioners, I remember Father Clement Kubisch of holy memory years ago talking about how Passion Sunday was the saddest day of the year. And as sad as Good Friday was, there's something about Passion Sunday that in a sense made it sadder, because on Good Friday our redemption was accomplished. The price was paid in full. And all of the punishment that we deserve for our sins was taken upon himself by our blessed Lord. So what is it about Passion Sunday that makes it such a sad remembrance? And as Father Kubisch used to explain on this Sunday, he said, it shows when God turned away, so to speak, from his own people. Why? Because they had hardened their hearts where they didn't want him anymore. And as we read in the gospel, after he utters that majestic statement identifying himself as Almighty God, before Abraham came to be, I am, they took up stones to throw at him. The ultimate rejection, the ultimate turning away. And the church very dramatically illustrates this by the covering of the statues in purple for the last 2 weeks of Lent. To my knowledge, the Vatican II Church doesn't do this anymore and misses out on this all-important lesson. Do not harden your hearts. The purple veil signify God hiding himself. And we see that not only the statues of the saints and of Our Lady, but even the crucifix is veiled. It's a powerful reminder for us not to harden our hearts. In the breviary for the last 2 weeks of Lent, the phrase will be there, do not harden your hearts. So how is it that we harden our hearts? My dear brethren, it's when we fall into patterns of sin. And the thing we need to be scared of is beginning to fall in little things. Why? Because if we don't catch ourselves on the slippery slope, we can fall all the way down to the bottom. And, you know, the first time you commit a particular sin, conscience is bothered by that. It's hard to defy the voice of conscience, which says, don't do that. But if we keep doing that, the voice of conscience starts to get smaller and quieter and smaller and quieter. And we unfortunately acquire a facility for committing that sin. What's happening? We are hardening our hearts. We are falling into a habit of committing a sin more and more. This is part of the evil of venial sin. We should never say, oh, it's only a venial sin. Venial sin that is committed over and over again will at some point not add up to, but will lead to mortal sin. Why? Because of this hardening of the heart that happens. I'd like to give a couple of illustrations, and this is not to point the finger, but they lend themselves well. Let's say that somebody's, you know, is late for Sunday Mass and starts with time to get into a habit of doing that, and they start coming a little bit later and later. Where is that going to lead eventually? To missing Mass completely. Again, the following by little, this is what we all have to be scared of in our lives. Or let's say a person has you know, falls into a habit of telling lies. The white lies of convenience. And then the lies start to get bigger and bigger. And then one day it's a serious matter and the person tells another lie. So this is the great lesson for Passion Sunday every year. Indeed, for the last 2 weeks of Lent, as the purple stays up, harden not your hearts. So how do we avoid hardening our hearts? One of the surest ways to do that is to often say, Jesus, I am sorry for my sins. Make many acts of contrition. Often tell our Lord how sorry you are, not just for big sins that may have been committed in the past, but even for these little sins. Because if we tell him we're sorry, then that means we're not allowing hardness to set in. The tears of contrition soften the soil of the soul and of the heart and of the mind, and will keep that hardening from happening. And where do we make the most effective use of sorrow? In confession. And this is why we need to go to confession regularly, my dear brethren. We will always have plenty to confess. I don't understand if somebody says, well, I can't think of anything that I've done in a long time. Well, the book of Proverbs says the just man falls seven times. So there are sins, venial sins. And if a person can't think of any sins ever, I fear that maybe there's the hardening of the heart has set in. If we are often telling Jesus we're sorry for our sins and our faults, we will know what they are and we will tell him. But this is why we need confession. Our Lord knew we needed to practice accountability. And unfortunately, Protestants reject confession completely. They say, oh, I confess my sins to God. But where is the accountability then? Does God appear to them and say, all right, I will forgive your sins and here's your penance? God doesn't appear and make that act of judgment and give the penance that at least works off some of the purgatory time. And so that accountability is not there. And of course, it's very clearly in the gospel. St. John's Gospel, chapter 20, Easter Sunday evening, Jesus will appear to the 10 and say, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. He told them to hear confessions. How ironic that those who claim to follow the Bible don't follow the Bible. Where's the confessing of sins? Well, they don't even have a priesthood. They reject the priesthood. So this is how we keep the soil of our hearts soft. By regularly going to confession, at least once a month. And I even recommend once a week. So that we can atone for our sins, not fall into bad habits. You know what, when you go to confession regularly, you're not going to be flying down that slippery slope because you're catching yourself. You're taking account of yourself. You're examining your conscience. You're being honest with yourself. I have this to confess. I can see myself slipping here or there. And we are practicing accountability. The Imitation of Christ says, the devil will do anything to keep us from confession and communion. Why? Because he knows how much good they do for our souls. So don't give the devil the victory by refraining from these two sacraments that we can receive frequently and need to receive frequently throughout our lives. I remember I was trying to come up with an analogy one day. I was giving a talk to the high school boys about the importance of confession, and it happened to be springtime. And we know what happens at springtime, that there's a lot more mud. And you can see in the car, in front of the car washes, long lines of cars. Why? To get the mud off. So I told the boys, you know, just like cars need to get washed, our souls need to get washed. Either that or the mud and the dirt keep caking up more and more and our souls get uglier and uglier. One of the boys told me afterwards, he said, "Father, that was a good analogy. I can't make the excuse of not going to confession frequently because I know we need to wash." So that's the best way to wash our souls and keep our souls soft. Keep them not soft in the sense of being weak, but soft, not being hardened, where we fall into patterns and habits of sin, and then they don't bother us anymore. That is where we need to think about the purple coverings. Not to let our souls get hardened. I think sometimes the devil will even, well, I just don't think, I'm certain the devil will get people discouraged, to fall into despair, where they say, "I can't do it anymore. I've gone to confession before. And the battle is too great." But is that ever an answer? Is that ever the solution to quit trying? No matter how great your sins, no matter what problems or addictions you may be battling, don't give up. Jesus gave every drop of blood for your salvation. He gave every drop of blood so that you wouldn't quit, so that you wouldn't give in to the discouragement that the devil so much wants you to fall into. And as long as we promise Jesus in a confession, "I will here and now, I promise not to sin, at least not mortally, and promise not to put myself in the near occasion of sin," we can go to we make a good confession every time. So don't give the devil the victory. Give the victory to Jesus, who gave us his all. Give the victory to our Holy Mother. May we all water the soil of our hearts often with tears, if not physical tears, at least metaphorical and spiritual tears, sorrow for what our sins have done to Jesus. So the lesson is clear today. Let us often tell him, "Lord, I'm sorry. I wish to do better." And even if, and no matter, I should say, how many times we failed, in a sense, it doesn't matter because we can't change the past, but we want to keep working on the present and on the future. Jesus, I will keep trying. And that's what he wants to see more than anything else. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.